Pokemon podcast for all news, information, and updates. This is Bulbacast Season 2.
Good evening, and this is Bulbacast number 20, Season 2, of course. And this is Satoshi-kun, here to say hi. And with me this evening, we have Archaic, the Bulba Garden webmaster.
Hey everyone, how's it going?
We also have Pi here, who is a Bulba Garden regular, a Bulba Garden forums master, and as we'll be discussing later in this cast, an editor for the Bulbapedia.
Hey everybody, how you doing?
And Pokemon Palace Network guy, PPN Steve.
Hey everyone, how's it going?
And this is going to be yet another fun, happy, yummy-filled Bulbacast. First thing for this evening, we're going to discuss the latest episode of Pokemon. The Buizel episode, and also Mr. Happy Brock still has his egg.
Okay, well, I'm not sure if it'll be called the Buizel episode. It seems that there's a lot more people concentrating on the Misty lore having been present in it at the moment.
Yes.
Personally, I focus most on the egg, but that's just, like, the first few seconds of the episode.
And the last few seconds.
Yeah, that too.
That first opening scene with Brock and the egg for you, Pi, must have been really, how should I put it, exciting?
Exhilarating.
I thought it was adorable and amusing and completely hot. Bizarre all at the same time.
Sensory overload.
He's really happy about that egg, isn't he?
I guess.
I mean, it only took them 500 episodes to give the breeder an egg, so I guess he would be happy.
Yeah.
What is with that? Why did it take them so long? I'm kind of glad, because last episode he seemed kind of like just in shock that he won, that he didn't really react. So anyway, as great as that was, the episode was really more about what happened after that.
Of course. And speaking of what happened after that, what did you guys all think about the Buizel? I mean, his obvious parallel with numerous Kung Fu style Bruce Lee or The Matrix or other...
Yeah, come on, this isn't a Machop, this is a friggin' Buizel.
I know, it's like, come on, you're next.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like this Pokemon really suits Hikari, does it?
Nah, not at all. This is probably one of the strongest we've seen. Consider, it took down Pikachu.
Yeah,
This is the Pikachu that, like, takes down gods without breaking a sweat.
Yes!
It took down Pikachu! It's a water type! It should have gotten fried to, like, smithereens!
Oh, come on. Pikachu gets his ass handed to him every second week. And this happens with Pikachu constantly. It's just what they need to do with Pikachu this week.
Pikachu a god or is Pikachu a wimp?
I think the best thing we could consider... Let's consider it this way. Pikachu is middle-aged.
Fine. He's still level 70, 80, 90. Doesn't matter.
Pikachu's about to get a Porsche and have a midlife crisis here.
Almost brand new Pokemon, Pochama in this case, win over, let's say, Pikachu, who's very experienced.
I remember on PokéShow, like, they had something about, it was something back in the AG era where, like, Ash lost to, I think it was, like, Ash lost to Drew lost to that woman with the Medicham, and that May... And then that woman with the Medicham lost to May. And then Ash jumped off the cliff. Because she was so bad in comparison just by that chain of events. And he's like, I am this many degrees worse than this starting coordinator. I'm going to... Ash.
I like this episode, personally.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was great. I think I loved it.
It was funny to watch.
This whole season's been great.
Last episode was funnier, though, I thought.
Well, yeah, but...
Oh, yeah.
The whole interaction with this Buizel and how aloof he was, he's just so cool, you know?
Yeah, the last episode was definitely more funny and music, but this one was definitely more cool and music. They're all great in their own different ways.
What I found interesting was that they decided to put like Hikari's rival in there for no apparent reason. I mean, it was like, we don't have a character of the day, but we've got to have someone besides our main group of three. Who the heck can we chuck in?
She's cool. She is cool. She's like, she's kind of, she's not like really that developed. Like, she seems kind of like Drew, except more friendly. And
they used to do that with, like, you know, Gary. He'd come in for no reason at all sometimes, just to be a complete jerk.
Yeah. Well.
And here they're bringing her in to show that she's not a complete jerk.
Right. Like Arcade said, it's they had to fill a space with somebody. Why not Hikari's rival?
Now, what has generated a lot of discussion about this episode is the whole appearance of the lure, because they didn't actually forget about it for once, which is amazing and incredible, and they deserve, like, a medal for memory.
They might be remembering that because they're going to possibly bring the person of the lure back. They've got her. She might be fresh on their minds right now.
That's true.
Did hear from her on her own blog that she's supposed to have a cameo sometime soon.
Well,
some people are saying that's the lure, but I think it's mentioned on the voice actor's blog as a cameo, it's going to be a speaking line.
Yes.
I wonder if having something like this pop up, we might get other forgotten bits of continuity pop up, like, say...
Use the freaking quick ball!
Well, speaking of balls, what about the GS ball?
Brock's got a heavy ball that he's never thrown at anything.
Wait a second, hasn't he used that heavy ball? I thought he used that to catch Fortress.
No, he used his quick ball to catch it as a pineco. He's got a quick ball. Ash and Misty got lure balls that they used. They never used their quick balls. Brock used his quick ball, but he got a heavy ball that he did. The ones that were used in Johto were fastballs. The ones we have now are quickballs. Ash has a little glass Pikachu that he got in Orange Islands that he's never going to use. They've got that whistle from Gligerman that they're never going to use. He's got that. He's even got the gift from from Brock and Misty of the silverware and the handkerchief that he used once, and he probably just threw away after he completely ruined them.
Maybe they're going to revisit some of the missing stuff that kind of were just
They've got a lot of stuff in his backpack that he just forgets about. It's like, Ash, don't you ever look in your item pocket?
No.
Anything else we can say about this episode?
It was a fun episode. I loved it.
Yes.
Yeah.
More like it, please. Basically, final judgment on the lure thing. Poker shippers, it's not time to start rejoicing yet. But, hey, we'll take what we can get it. First time we've ever seen real continuity from the writers for something like this. So we don't know if it's just someone doing it on a whim or if it's done intentionally to keep Kasumi in the minds of the viewers. Who knows? But she was there. Let's take it like that, and that'll be good enough for now.
All right, and now we're going to talk about the GTS and some things that we kind of have a problem with. And to help us do that, we're going to bring in the lovely RG.
Bulba News' head editor.
Hey, RG.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome, RG, to the cast this evening. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
Hey, pretty good.
Here. Doing all right.
Pretty good.
Welcome.
I'm really sick of people who are trading hacked Pokemon on the GTS. It's getting old. Since you wrote an editorial about it, you know, I thought we'd bring you in so you could vent a little bit about it as well. Because we're sick of it.
I am too. I haven't really seen the hacked, because like every time I search for Pokemon, it's like impossible request, so I can't even trade at all. It's like I search for, like just now I was on it and I just had to quit because I got so frustrated. Like I searched just for the heck of it, male Cumby. Like, any level, you know, and, like, all the requests for, like, Dialga, Palkia, it's like, I can't even begin
That's
to
lame.
For that.
Half of those you can't even get anyways.
Yeah.
They don't exist yet.
Like level 9 Skunk Tanks.
Exactly.
Yeah, every time I go and search on GTS, I've never done a trade on there by searching. Like, I've deposited things a couple times and gotten lucky, but I've never found anything by searching.
I've done all my trading on GTS by depositing and asking for what I want. I mean,
and even
you can actually get some You can actually get some good offers that way, though you got to be careful not acting too much, because if you ask for something really good, people, someone's going to give you something hacked, you know?
Yeah, you don't want that.
I think one of the big issues that we're getting is, I mean, originally we thought that all these issues with people asking for stupid things would go away very quickly, because, of course, people wouldn't be giving them things. But what has happened is that they are getting these things. You're getting people who give those guys hacked Pokemon for some reason. Why the hell you'd give people hacked Pokemon when you can just hack it up yourself? I don't know. Maybe they just want trainer IDs or whatever, or to get foreign language stuff. But
it's also to keep their Pokemon clean.
They're like, I didn't hack it. It's not my fault.
Right when I got the game, I just for the heck of it put a Zubat on there, and I requested a Piplup, and I got one, and it had Poképlus. But, I mean, its stats aren't really out there, and it's like capture information makes sense, so I can't tell if it's hacked or not. I mean, I kind of suspect it is, but I really have no idea.
I think if you want to get Pokemon that aren't hacked, the best thing any of you can do is to try and get Pokemon from the Japanese players. They seem far, far less likely to use hacks than the Western players, and I'm not sure if that's just because I don't even think they actually have action replays or Game Sharks or whatever you use over there at the moment. It seems that Japanese gamers are just less likely to use those sorts of things to begin with.
I have to agree with that.
Awesome.
What's upset me a bit, though, is that Nintendo, even though they've said they were going to do something to make sure these things weren't on the GTS, haven't.
Yeah.
I thought I read back when the games came out in Japan that they had problems with that, people requesting impossible things, and I thought that somebody said Nintendo fixed it, but obviously not.
Please, Nintendo, do something about this. We don't want hacked monsters. We want legit stuff. Hacked isn't fun.
Don't degrade the game by offering Ubers, super Ubers that don't even exist, hacked Pokemon, any of that.
I just thought of an idea of why maybe people are doing this.
Why?
They want, like, legit Pokemon, but they're too lazy to get them the legit way. So they're like, okay, let's just trade hacked Pokemon for legit Pokemon over the GTS. So I'll have it easier that way.
They don't have to go out and catch
the things. I'll reap the
benefits
of legit Pokemon with all my hacking methods.
Yeah, that
stinks. Totally. Hacked Pokemon smell bad, okay?
Do you guys consider Arceus, Darkrai, or Shaymin that are from, you know, the Japanese glitch, Surf glitch? Do you consider those legit?
No.
But I don't consider those hacked.
A glitch Pokemon is different.
A glitch Pokemon is actually dangerous to your cart. It is more dangerous than a hacked one.
Yeah. I also want to ask your opinions. There was a thread about this. But say, what if you missed an offer for a ticket or something, and you hack the ticket? Well, I don't think that's a good thing to do, but I believe I will not say anything bad about someone who does that with their own game, because there is no way they could have gotten that ticket now.
Yeah. And they've still got to catch it themselves. In the U.S., in the U.S., that's not really a problem. In Japan, I would have issues with a player doing that simply because they are going to have another chance to get the ticket. They get, I mean,
many chances.
Yeah.
In Japan, it was basically every 3 months you'd have some sort of Pokemon event, and there'd always be one of the tickets available there. I mean, getting back to the GTS thing, that's kind of something we're actually planning with the Bulb Garden Wireless Garden at the moment. The BTS, Orbit Grade System. Now, this wouldn't actually be on the current Bulbagarden forums. It would be like a custom setup specifically to organize and manage trades.
That's the GTS. Earlier in the chat, I mentioned that I was searching for, what was it? It was like,
Cumbie?
No, I can't even. Yeah, Cumbie, and it was like, they named it APOM.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I saw that.
and it was a Japanese person, too. It was in Japanese, it said APOM.
That is weird.
But it was not an APOM.
They named
That is bizarre.
What?
That's funny.
Why?
Because they can?
Let's be honest here. We've seen in Nintendo tournaments and whatever, people who would name their Charmanders Squirtle and various things like that just to try and mess up opponents. And... Nintendo have actually had to ban that from tournaments. That they went so far as to ban people doing that.
Who would fall for that?
A surprising amount of people. When you've only...
The thing is,
you do is it, like, shortly glance at what Pokemon your opponent has before you glance back to make your selections. You only really see the names. You don't see the pictures.
You only see the nickname.
Blah 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 is about to send out blank.
It says the nickname.
It says the nickname, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I actually did have a friend who named their Gyarados Magikarp.
I used to nickname all of my Pokemon in, like, these pseudo-Japanese names, but these days I just can't be bothered.
Exactly.
Wow. You know, I'm really glad we were able to get that talk about the GTS out, because... I'm sick of it! We're not gonna take it! Something like that. Now, I do believe Wonderful Pie here has something to tell us about Zibulbapedia. Because I do believe we're needing some more people on the Bulbapedia.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do. As someone actually put it to me the other day, if I, meaning me, Pie, got hit by a bus, then Bulbapedia would basically fall over and die. I don't think the situation's quite that bad. But we can definitely use a lot more help at Bulbapedia. We have a lot of more people getting back into the fandom, getting into their Diamond and Pearl highs, but most of them are mostly sticking to the forums, to the chat rooms. You know, we have a lot of stuff to work on Bulbapedia, and a lot of stuff already here. And we could always use more. We're working on making things easier for you to get into Bulbapedia and help out and join the community.
Yes, it's like Wikipedia. You can contribute, not just read.
Yes, Wiki is weird, and it takes a little getting used to, but it is easier than HTML, and frankly, most people don't need to know how to code. You don't need to know how to make things bold or italic or even link. We'll do all that. You just do all the paragraph typing.
Yeah.
Seriously. We'll be the one. We can make it look pretty.
See, this is something that people should know. People should know that, you know, they can put stuff in that's not totally perfectly formatted, and we can fix it.
Yeah, we do encourage people, if they're typing things from scratch, to do it in Wiki. But if you have a reason for putting it in plain text or in HTML formatting, we understand. If you have a good reason to post it in HTML, go ahead, do it. We'll fix it. No problem.
If you see a mistake on Bulbapedia, please don't just go on the forums, and this goes not just for Bulbagun, but for all sorts of forums, and go, oh, there's a mistake on Bulbapedia, we can't trust it. Guys, come on. If you know it's wrong, fix the error. If you don't, and this goes for listeners too, if you don't understand how to wiki something, how to do it in the right formats and everything, send us a message, and we can help you.
What I found helpful I first started doing it was that I looked at other similar articles and I just basically copied. Eventually, I just learned it on my own.
So, if you know how to use HTML and you want to do it like that, fine.
Okay. There's a lot of new users will be doing HTML because they'll wanting to build a Pokemon web page. You know how all the noobs do, right? They all build a page. You know, of course, nobody ever goes there. They give up in a month.
Yeah.
But they learn basic HTML.
Yeah.
But they can come here. It's easier to learn wiki code than it is to learn HTML. I know. I've done both.
Okay.
My own.
Just quickly, these guys have probably already learned HTML. Though. In any case,
right.
If you post it in HTML, all we ask is that, like, on your page, when you edit a page, down at the bottom you've got this little comment field, which doesn't accept many words. But anyway, just type a little note in that comment field that used HTML.
Or plain text.
Just say needs editing. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll happily fix it.
No.
If we can pool our whole fan base together, this can be like the biggest Pokemon site, biggest resource available to anyone if only people would, you know, pool everything together.
It's already a huge resource.
If you have information you want to put in a page that already exists and already has obviously been beautified, if you're not confident that you can just copy and paste the kinds of styling that's already there to create your own. I mean, we have no problem if you want to put it in plain text. I mean, for the new parts, so long as you don't kill the formatting of the old parts.
Right.
If you're still really not confident about doing that, it's all right to, like, put your stuff in an email or a message on the wiki or on the forums to someone and ask them to do it for you. That's fine. These are what our staff do. It's their job.
Yeah, I've heard some people complaining recently that Bulbapedia, it's hard to find things on there, that we don't have, like, a table of contents or whatever. You can search for whatever you want. We have a list of categories that you can go in. Main categories, those break down into smaller categories, and they list all the articles there. You can search for whatever you want. You don't have to search for a specific article name. You can search within articles for words. You can find whatever you want. You don't have to go searching for names or, like, searching for, you know, articles on a site like you do at Surabi or whatever, because I have trouble finding things on that site, to be honest.
Oh, God, Surabi's...
But on Bulbapedia, I can just go on and search for the keyword that I want, and it pops up right away.
Now, if people are really having problems, and this is a long-standing issue we've had where people have said they've had problems finding stuff on the Pedia, we do have on the front page at the top, in like that Welcome to Bulbapedia strip, on the right, there's a list of categories. Click on it, you've got lists of articles. But... Mm. If you really are having problems, tell us what exactly you want. So, people, if you have problems browsing this information, tell us how you want to be browsing it. Don't just put it in words, if possible. If you can show us websites that have exactly that kind of interface or have similar interfaces, that helps. Because half the time when you explain it, it sounds to us like you just want the category page and it's on the front page of the site. Bulbapedia, as it's set up, is very functional. It is not necessarily very pretty all the time. If you want it to be more pretty, one, make more articles to make it worth our time, and two, tell us on the forums exactly how you want it instead of just complaining on sites that aren't Bulbagarden where we don't know you're complaining. If you know PHP and you want to help with Bulbagarden, then is definitely looking for apprentices. And for that matter, if you can write well and are reasonably mature, and most importantly, have time to do stuff, because, I mean, Bulbagarden, traditionally, a lot of our staff have been older guys who are in university now, we don't have the time. If you have time to work on this stuff and you have some level of skill, you don't have to be the greatest person in the world. We will train you. We will give you training if we have to.
We will give you hugs. Yes, I will hug people who come because of this and request it. I will.
You'll get pie in your face.
It will be online, I admit. I can't, like, fly to everybody's home and give you a hug, but I will give you an e-hug.
All right, so let's move on. We got a couple of call-ins, I think, lined up.
Yeah, we got one last call-in tonight, I believe.
So, Argy, we're going to let you go. Thanks for being on Bulbacast.
All right, thanks, guys.
Hey,
thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a conversation about the Bulbapedia. Wow. But yeah, you know, pretty much, if you've got something you want to say, and you can say it intelligently, put a sentence together, go for it. We do need your help.
Hi, boys and girls. This is your old pal, Sayay. And I'm here to tell you about our special for the month. That's right, my restaurant, McSyducks, is having a special that is going to last all month. Not only can you get a Psy burger, but you can also get a Psy shake and a Psy toy absolutely free. We're always looking to make our customers happy, and this is a surefire way to do it, Psy-yay. Also, we're not done yet. If you come to McSyducks between the hours of 9:12 p.m. and 11:46 p.m., you'll also get a free cholesterol counter. That's right. Now you don't have to worry about gaining weight, because this handy counter will make sure that you don't ever go over your recommended daily value of it. And yet again, we're not through yet. We're also giving away an extremely rare golden Golduck figurine. That's right. Be the 17th caller in the next 22 minutes, and you'll win this fabulous prize. Our number is very simple. Just press all the numbers 0 through 9, then 7, 4, 8, 12, 99, F, G, pineapple, and square. Simple as that. I can't believe we're giving all this away. But like I said, McSyducks, where we're always looking to make our customers our number one priority. So come, visit us now. Say yay. Thank you.
next we're going to go on to the question of the week, which is read by me. Hello guys, this is Sato-kun, and I am here with yet another fun-filled, exciting, happy question of the week. And the question of the week for this week, in which we're doing question of the week for, is a two-parter. First off, I asked everybody, what Pokemon do you think would be the best, most important in the metagame? Ookie dookie. And the second question was, well, you guys might remember, you guys might not, depends on how far back you've seen of the Pokemon series, but Ash made a joke about Caterpie and called himself, or called it, a Cowderpie. Well, what I asked you to do was to come up with a parody based on a Pokemon name, such as that, and, well, I've got many great answers to both this week, and let's get on with the answers to the questions. First off, we have Pikachu 2211. Got enough numbers in there, dude? He says, not many people will think this, but he thinks Cresselia will have the biggest impact on the metagame. It also has some great attacks, and since it can learn psychic attacks, it is really effective on Pokemon that are weak to psychic attacks. It also learns attacks besides psychic attacks, so it can be effective for on other Pokemon, even if they aren't weak to psychic attacks. Well, that does make sense. And now let's move on to Yame Teradine. And Yami Teradime says, honestly, they think that Lucario will change the metagame up slightly. It's halfway decent for fighting and steel type. It doesn't really have a lot of bad weaknesses, although fire would be a slight problem. And it's going to be used quite a bit, thanks to its popularity. Yeah, that movie kind of did make it popular, didn't it? And for the anime question, the best thing they could think of, now this is more of a visual thing, so go into the forums and check it out, Ponyta. Since a properly trained Ponyta or Rapidash can really destroy or pwn those annoying Bronzor and Bronzong. Good point. Now we have Martian saying that Asurus is going to have the biggest effect on the metagame or impact because of all of his different types. It's like an advanced Eevee. Also, if you and your friend both have the Pokemon, there'll be a type difference providing you have different plates on, making a legendary Pokemon with a friend much more challenging. Alright, and also Martian mentioned that she's a girl! I'm so sorry. I usually assume most people are guys. I'm sorry, but, well, I'll try not to make that mistake again. And now we have Magpie. Magpie for the game question says Asurus, because of its movie/game/spinoff, etc., whatever it generates, everyone will be looking for one. He's the creator, most powerful, legendary, etc. It has it all. And Magpie thinks that we'll be seeing a lot of things about it, I guess anime-wise, game-wise, movie-wise, whatnot-wise. And for the anime question, not so much of a pun, but Magpie likes to use the phrase, holy miltank, all the time. Another funny joke? Cloyster? I hardly knew her. Okie dokie. And now we're going to move along, and we have Swampert Driplim Chatot. Yes, that is a long name. That is a mouthful. That is three Pokemon in one. Lot of pokes, whole lot of pokes. And Swampert Driplim Chatot thinks that Rotom or Spiritomb would probably be good in the metagame. Not only are they unique, but good types, attack sets, and stats. Personally, Swampert Driplim Chatot thinks that Rotom is somewhat of a legendary. Okie dokie. And now, the second question, Swampert Driplim Chatot I really love saying that name, by the way. It's a mouthful. It's fun. But says that inspired by the Camp Pikachu short included in the Pokemon Heroes DVD, likes to imagine Corsola or Why Not saying about a subject, "Course, why not?" Okie dokie. And now, well, let's move on to Blaziken EX. They think that Asurus or Spirit Tomb would be the best in the metagame. They both seem great and are very helpful. And, I guess Turt Wig, as in, you know, thing you put on your head when you have no hair or want to change your hair or something like that. They're no good with that stuff, they say. But also, Blaziken EX went one further and did me a really big favor. I was always wondering what the heck was up with that Caterpie joke. They said they found out from Dagasu's backpack that the Caterpie thing was an attempt to make a Japanese joke make sense in English. I think Misty was saying, "Mushy, mushy, mushy, bugs, bugs, bugs," and someone said, "Ushi, ushi, ushi, cow, cow, cow." Well, that couldn't be translated exactly, understandable, because bug and cow just don't sound alike. So they did the Caterpie thing. Makes sense to me, too. Hey. So we will move right along with Thunder Dash saying for the game question, Manaphy! Manaphy! Because if you get DP, you need to get Ranger to get it, and Manaphy is cool in the 10th movie, so everyone wanted to get it. For the anime question, Thunder Dash asks, "Can I have some Pikachu?" Okay. Alrighty, we have Kurobake Hajiro, who says, for the game question, if you exclude the obvious Asurus, they'd say Spirit Tomb is a pretty strong dude who will probably have people put a person with Miracle Eye or Foresight in their team in case they run into it. Makes sense. And for the anime question, they say, that gal's got some major Kogunk in her trunk. Oh, gee, I like that one. I really, 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 really do. So, we're going to move on with Bluntasaur. Yeah. Bluntasaur says that the two Pokemon that will have the biggest impact on the metagame are Electivire and Magmortar. Since physical and special attacks are now separated by individual attacks instead of elements, and both of these Pokemon will have a very, very impressive attack power, which opens up a whole lot of new possibilities, especially taking into account all the powerful physical attacks that they can learn. As for Pokemon parody names, all that Blunisaur can think of off the top of his head is Prince of Persian. Well, that does make sense. Alrighty, now we have Ashita. And Ashita says, for the game question, Ashita personally feels that it would be Asurus purely because it is really tough and they could potentially have an interesting plot line with its separate halves and possibly some kind of epic battle at the end. I mean, DS can handle something like that easily. Maybe. Now, for the anime question, they say, this one's going to be really corny, but they're not too good at this sort of thing. I think that Mankey is a little bit manky. Okie dokie. And now, we shall move on with Big CN 401. Alright, they said, you want a short answer? Here you go. Oh, short answers are nice, but something a little bit fun to read is cool, too. Whatever works best for you. Now let's get on with the answers. For question number one, Pachirisu. Spirit Tomb, because of no weakness. Alright, so that was a joke. Okay, and apparently, Spirit Tomb has no weak! Okay, now I've got that out of my system. For the second question, they don't have a parody. They would put up a translation note if they were able to do something like that for a series. You know, tell you the truth, I like translation notes. I really do. I also like a good parody here and there. But yeah, that works. IU is going to go with the majority of the form and say Spirit Tomb for the first question. And for the second one, IU came up with a couple. He's so mad that he could explode! Alright. Stop speaking so loud, Red. You're hurting my ears. Yay for courtiness. Oh, right. Now Misty has decided to say Garchomp. Probably, simply put, Garchomp has no real 100% counters, so it has good defenses. It's fast, and Sandveil is a maddening ability given how common Tyranitar is likely to be. Honorable mentions go to Zelf and Infernape, who both possess excellent offensive capabilities. However, both of them lack defensively, making Garchomp superior. Alright, and now, last but not least, we're going to move right along with Pikachu Trainer. Pika, Pika, Pika! Pikachu Trainer says, for the game question, in short, Zelf owns the metagame. So Zelf went to the store and said, may I buy the metagame? Purchased the metagame, now owns it. Now, along with the anime question, they say, Mr. Pikachu Trainer says, all that I can think of is Cricket Tune as in the game. Ash saying, hey guys, let's go play Cricket to the Tune. No comment. Seriously, no comment. Alright. Now, well, we're going to need a question of the week for next week, so let me dig through my head and see if I can come up with anything that would be worth being a question of the week for the week that is coming up that will be the week of next week's question of the week. Alright, well, the first question is going to be a game question, and the wonderful Misty from Bulbagarden has come up with this one and has asked, what is your opinion of EV training and people who use it to gain an advantage in the Pokemon game? Alright, and now I've got an anime question also, and this one comes straight from me and my hollow head there, and the question is going to be, Team Rocket has occasionally been good. Take Movie 2, Pokemon 2000, The Power of One, I believe it was, in the United States and other English-speaking countries. Team Rocket has actually played good guys sometimes. What do you guys think of that? You like Team Rocket as good guys? Occasionally? You wish they'd always be bad? You wish they'd go and be good for a season? Your thoughts? I'm ready to hear them and read them on the air next week. And until then, this is Sato, signing off. Bye-bye. Wow. I love these guys. I love them. I love them. I love them. I love them.
The questions are so great.
Thank you, as always, and can't wait to read your answers to this question of the week next week. And now I do believe we've got a call-in for this evening. Tonight, we're going to have Full Master in as our call-in for the evening. So, let's get him in. Hello, Full Master. How are you this evening?
Hello.
Hey, FM. How's it going?
Welcome to the Bulbacast.
Thank you.
Doing all right, and you?
All right.
Good. Well, good. What can we do you with tonight? Got a question?
How has Ash matured during the series? Or maybe I should rephrase that a little. Has Ash matured throughout the series, and if so, why?
It's very slowly.
That'll doesn't rely as heavily on luck. I emphasize as heavily.
Right. Most notably, it's been in the Diamond and Pearl since it started. His actions seem a lot more mature than even just last season in Advanced Generation.
In general, at least, anyway.
Yeah, in general. That's what I'm speaking of, and in general.
His
Pokemon skills are, while still a little bit iffy, he still relies a lot on his luck and in the Pokedex.
And Pikachu.
Yeah, and Pikachu, who's been around, you know. His overall skills has improved. He's a lot more confident in most areas. He still doesn't know what a girl is, but maybe next year.
I really think they want to keep Ash innocent. and will always do that.
He is, in a way, innocent. He is single-minded, pretty much. His goal is the Pokemon mastership and whatnot.
Which we still don't know what that really is.
He is slowly growing and slowly maturing, though. How long has the series been? 10 years?
10 years.
He's definitely not aged episodes. 10 years.
So he's probably aged 2 years in those 10.
Oh, I'd say more than two. Yeah. He's probably aged 3 or 4 years from the... I mean, we have had episodes which have acknowledged the passage of time, so...
I think generally what the way most fans view it is that for every 3 years in our time, it's about 1 year in the anime.
There's no official
statement on that. It's just a fan assumption.
Okay. Full Master, got anything else? Another one?
What are some of the things in the Diamond and Pearl game that keep constant with the Diamond and Pearl anime?
So far?
Yeah. Might be too early.
I think.
How about the egg?
The egg! It's not in the exact same spot, but it's the same egg! And it wasn't given by a hiker, but that's okay. It's still the egg!
But, so...
it's the same thing inside the egg.
I'm just trying to remember now, what could you get in that egg in Diamond and Pearl in the games?
That egg has a
spoiler.
Here you go then. Spoiler warning. Skip over the next 30 seconds or so if you don't want to hear this. Okay, so what is it?
Happiny. Baby Chansey.
You
get a Lucario from Iron Mountain.
Yeah, everyone has already been saying that.
Riolu.
Oh dear.
Yeah, so, people have already been speculating.
So Brock's going to have that, huh?
Yes, we know.
Well, think about it this way. I mentioned this in the chat, and I think Pi kind of agreed. And a Happiny is a perfect thing. It's going to evolve into a Chansey, and Chansey only evolves into Blissey if you really love it. This is going to be a way they're going to show how much Brock really cares for his Pokemon and how much his Pokemon care for him back.
I believe that is
the best Pokemon they could have given him.
Yeah. Isn't that how Happiny evolves into Chansey?
No, that's a... Happiny evolves by a round stone. Oval stone. The egg-shaped stone. But really, I mean... Brock has showed with Golbat and Dekrobat that he already is really great with happiness evolutions. This could be an even better example, because...
Yes.
Blissey's Japanese name is happiness. It's all about happiness. This is Brock's best aspect.
Well, he's awful happy now, and it's still an egg.
Yeah, well, one thing that I really thought about was Happiny is the pre-evolved form of Chansey, which, as you know, is a Pokemon that Nurse Joy has.
Right.
Yes.
So
there are implications in that.
Ooh.
Everybody has thought about that. Trust me. Y'all know he's going to take at least one opportunity to use it to really hit on a Nurse Joy.
Oh, of course.
But beyond that, I don't think they're going to do any huge major plot development, because last time they ever really did that was Professor Ivy.
That didn't work too well.
Yeah.
He, all right. Unless they're ending the series, he's not going to get a girl. Sorry.
Actually, I'd like to link onto that a little with some of what we were saying about this week's episode earlier. Now, I thought it was really interesting with all this talk about, with Hikari having gotten that Weasel, that everyone is so certain that she's going to trade that at some point.
Not everyone.
There seems to be a lot of people.
Very strong Pokemon. Why would she do that?
She should trade it with
Ash. Because people are saying it's not a contest Pokemon, it's a battling Pokemon, and it doesn't suit her.
She already has a water Pokemon.
She has to be a good trainer to be a good contestant, contest doer.
The fandom is really split. Some are saying that because of their Pokemon goals, they're both going to trade their Pokemon, so Aipom and Weasel will be able to do what they really want to do most. But then the other half of the fandom is saying that they love their Pokemon so much that they will be able to have their Pokemon's unique style still work for them in their major goals of going to a gym or a contest. Both sides really have a strong argument, and I just say wait and see.
I'm going to split the pedal.
Me too.
There's another argument I've heard from some people, which I thought was fairly unusual, but still actually within the realms of plausibility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, bear with me on this one. We've heard that there will be a Misty cameo, and we assume that hasn't happened yet because it hasn't been a speaking role and was announced in the voice actor's blog. So, I've heard some people suggest, could Buizel be traded to Misty for a Pokemon she has that might be more suitable to contests like, Azurill?
Oh, really?
That's an interesting
That's
one.
A good point. That's interesting.
I don't think it's likely, but it's an interesting idea for sure.
Wasn't it mentioned that Hikari kind of acted a little jealous about, you know, what Misty had given Ash and all that? I wonder if that means there's going to be a...
Not so much.
Because I was going to say, you know, that... That'd be interesting if that was a backdrop to a meetup between with Misty and there being a lot of tension in that episode between Hikari and Misty.
I don't think
there's
that.
No cause for that.
If there was any shipping here,
I'm not thinking shipping.
There wasn't any jealousy over that. She just thought, oh, that's a strange rule. Let me try and use it.
And yeah, that was more of I want to try
it
thing.
No, it is mine.
I don't think more was read into it than just that she wanted to try it because she thought maybe it would work better.
Or she just thought it was cool.
Or, mine,
get away.
Yeah.
Right. See, Ash was very protective.
That's the only thing I thought could have been seen as chippy. The fact that Ash was so darn protective of the thing. He's like, no, this is mine. Misty gave it to me. Get your own.
Right.
In any case, Fullmaster, I guess we've probably answered that last question then. So did you have anything else you wanted to ask?
No, that's about it.
All right. Great.
So thank you guys for having me.
You're welcome.
I'll see you next time.
Hey, thanks for coming on to BulbaCast.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for being on.
No problem.
It's always good to see you.
All right.
Yep.
See ya.
Another great call.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. Whew, what a cast. But we pulled it off. Good deal. And I think we all had fun, didn't we?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm reminding you to visit all the wonderful web pages we have, including BulbaGarden.net, PocketMonsters.net, PokemonPalace.net, and the respective chats, all of which you can get to if you don't have MRC or any other IRC client. You can get to them through chat.bulbagarden.net. If you do have an IRC client, just go to the server, irc.systemnet.info, and the channels you'll want will be Pound Bulbagarden. There's also Pound Pocket Monsters, and can't forget, hour before the cast, meet us up in Pound Bulbacast. We'd love to hear from you, and you never know. If you have a way to get in on the cast, we'll get you in. We love call-ins. As always, we love you listeners. Thanks for listening. So yeah, until we meet again next week for another fun-filled, exciting, happy BulbaCast, this is Sato signing off. Good night.